So we're on Mitzvah Hay still, and we'll be looking at the Korban Pesach and the Korban Tamid. The issue of the balance of the Zman, and the Zman for the Korban Pesach versus the Zman for the Korban Tamid, and how it ties into a couple of other halachic issues, some of which are actually practical in terms of Mincha, in terms of Tefillin Shliyah, Tefillin Shel Rosh, and in terms of end-of-life issues. All of this ties into the interplay of the Zman for Korban Pesach and the Korban Tamid. So let's get moving here. First, Mishnah Psachim, source number one, starts us off. Very basic. Beginning of the Parak Psachim, right? Tamid Nishchat B'shmonu Mechza, B'karev B'teisho Mechza. As a general rule, any given day of the year, the Korban Tamid is going to be shechted at the 8.5 point of the day, meaning you would divide the day into Shavuos Manios, you have your midday point at 6 hours, you add 2.5 hours, that's when you bring your Korban Tamid in the afternoon. Vikari Vitesho Mechza, and it takes an hour, evidently, for the Shechita, the Havshata, the breaking down into the different parts of Chulei, it goes on the Mizbeach, 9.5 hours of the day. Ba'arvei Pesachim Nishchat V'sheva U'mechza, V'kar B'shmon U'mechza. However, Erev Pesach, we push it back an hour. So that you do the Shechita at 7.5, you bring the Korban on the Mizbeach at 8.5, Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos, whether it's a weekday or Shabbos, makes no difference. Okay, that's the reason they need to point out the Shabbos issue, is because we do get a little more complicated on Shabbos in terms of the timing of the Korban Musaf, as well as the concern, do you bring the Chagiga, not bring the Chagiga, when would you bring the Chagiga? But for our purposes, that isn't even so germane. What's more germane is the previous point, that first you're going to do the Korban Tamid at 7.5 hours of the day, bring it on the Mizbeach at 8.5, and then he tells you, Chol Erev Pesach Lios Berev Shabbos Nishchat B'Sheishu Mechza V'Kar B'Shevo Mechza. If it's Friday, if Erev Pesach is Friday, then you're pushing it back to 6.5 hours of the day. There you have an issue of completing your Korban Pesach and your Korban Chagiga before Shabbos. And then the key final line, V'Pesach Acharav. The Korban Pesach is after the Korban Tamid. Why is your Korban Pesach being done after the Korban Tamid? Don't you know the rule? Right, we say it in the morning for those who say the Korbanos carefully, right? Alea Hashlem Kol HaKorbanos Kulam, the Korban Tamid Shabbat Arbaim, is the last Korban of the day. So why are you bringing the Korban Pesach afterwards? This isn't the Menachas Hanukkah question, this is a basic question. Right? So if someone said to you, I have a Korban Tamid to bring, and I have a Korban Pesach to bring, what logical argument could you bring to explain why the Korban Tamid comes first? Right. You go with the carbon that's going to be more frequent. So the carbon tamid is the more frequent carbon, hence it should be first. That is indeed one approach. We're going to see a second approach from the Gemara, but that's a straightforward logical argument. As a matter of fact, it's such a logical argument, and it's so founded in what we know to be true, that the Gemara we're going to see in source number two comes as something of a surprise. Source number two. We're going to see it later. We're going to see it in number 10, but we're not there yet, because first we have to answer a previous question of when is the earliest time you can bring the afternoon Korban Tamid? That's number two. Gemara Pesachim. Amar Rava. Mitzvaso de Tamid mishayintu tzilalei erev. All right? We bring the Korban Tamid when the shadows of evening incline. Okay? My time, or why then? Damar Kra, Beino Arbayim. Because it says, Beino Arbayim. What does Beino Arbayim mean? If you want to try to translate it as between the Arabs, I wish you lots of luck. Beino Arbayim means, Me'idna Demaschal Shimshal Me'erov. From the time when the sun starts to literally mix in, right? Irbuvia, remember, that's where we get Erev from. It's the time of day when you can't really tell between night and day. That's what Erev means. So when the sun starts to move towards that Erev time, that's it. So that's the after midday is what I would have thought that meant. However, Rashi tells you, not exactly. Rashi informs us on that Gemara in Psachim. If you take a look at source number four, take a look at source number four. I'm trying to remember why in the world I put in number three over there. I don't know. Number three really should have been later. But take a look at number four. Michiyintu tzilalei erev. When the shadows start to incline, that means midway through the seventh hour and onward. At that point, the sun is inclined towards the west. The shadow then goes towards the east. Rashi explains to you the way shadows work. When you stand opposite the sun being towards the west, therefore your shadow will be cast towards the east. Between the midpoint of the sixth hour, meaning 5.5 hours into the day, and midpoint of the seventh hour, meaning 6.5 hours into the day, the sun is in the middle of the sky. The shadow does not incline, but instead, your shadow is beneath you. Rashi goes on at length here because he's trying to explain the word yintu, the idea that the shadow inclines. So the way Rashi explains it is, the sun is moving through the sky, you get to this midway point between 5.5 and 6.5, and shadows are vertical, and then after that, the shadow will be on a slant. That's Rashi's suggestion. So Rashi tells me that in fact, when we said in source number 2 that you bring the carbon tamid mishiyindu tzilalei erev, that doesn't mean once the sun moves past the midpoint, midday, rather it means 6.5 hours of the day. Well, that's very interesting. Is this lechatchila? Is this what we're supposed to be doing? Not necessarily. Take a look at source number 5. We will ultimately come back to source number 3. I haven't forgotten that it's there. It's just in the wrong place. Source number 5 is the Gemara in Yuma. The Amar of Safra. Rav Safra talks about the time that we daven mincha. He says, Tzlose de Avraham, Mikimashri Kosli. You'll see in brackets there I added in words because you need those words in order to make sense of things. Otherwise, everybody reads this Gemara wrong when they first read it. Right. I assume Tzlose de Avraham means Shachris, right? No? That's a good assumption. Unfortunately, it's not true. Rav Safra says, Avraham's tefillah, by which he means Mincha, is Mikimashri Kosli. When the walls start to darken. And then I add it again in brackets to clarify. Dahainu Chatzos Mamash. Okay, he says Mincha begins at midday. Omer Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, "What do you mean? Anan may Avraham nekum the digmor? Are we going to learn from Avraham?" To which Rava says, "Why not?" Omer Rava. Rava says, "It's as good a place as any." Tana gam may Avraham, anan lo gam mina minag. What do you mean? The Tanaim learned from Avraham. Right? Famous Brisa, he's about to quote it. You know, we should also learn from him. Tisaya, here's the Brisa. Regarding the time for Bris Mila. Ubayom hashmini yimol basar or laso. The Torah says on the eighth day, you do Bris Mila. On the eighth day, you do Bris Mila. So, he says, Malame shakalayom kasher lamila. That teaches that the entire day is kasher for Bris Mila. Allah says, reason makdim ala mitzvos. But those are energetic rush to do mitzvos. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, vashkem avram baboga vayachavosh, dot, dot, dot. So we learn that Bris Mila is supposed to be in the beginning of the day from Avram's practice. So, if Avram is a good enough source to teach me this reason makdim ala mitzvos, Avram should also be a good enough source to teach me that yidaven mincha at midday. So, Rav Yosef, I don't really understand what your problem was. Ella Omar Rava, rather, Rava explains, Rav Yosef Hakakashale, this is what was bothering Rav Yosef. Disnan, it's the mission that we learned regarding the Karban Pesach and the Karban Tamid. We learned, Chol Arbe Pesachim Lios Be'er Shabbos, Nishra Pesheshu Mechza, Vekar Beshevo Mechza. We said that if Erev Pesach is a Friday, you shef the Karban Tamid 6.5 hours of the day, and then you bring it as a carbon on the Mizbeach, 7.5. Now, if Erev Pesach is Erev Shabbos, we're trying to push the carbon tamid to its earliest point in order to make room for the carbon chagiga and the carbon Pesach to be done before Shabbos. So, the earliest you can go is 6.5. I don't understand. Avram, you just told me, dominant midday. Why don't I do the shechita from the time when the walls get dark? The idea of the walls getting dark, in case that wasn't clear, is the idea that the walls stand up straight, and therefore, once the sun passes the midpoint, you already have darkening in the shadow of the wall. That's the theoretical idea. So why is it that that you're only pushing back your karban tamid to 6.5 hours? Why not push it back to chatzos? To which he says, "My Kusha, why is that such a big question? I can give you a whole bunch of answers. V'duma, perhaps, kosle de beis hamikdash b'sheish u'mechza mashchari, v'shundu l'machav nituva." Maybe it's because the walls of the beis hamikdash don't actually cast a shadow at 6 hours of the day. They don't cast a shadow until 6.5 hours because they weren't precisely aligned. The Leaning Tower of Pisa. The walls are not precisely aligned, and therefore you don't get a shadow until 6.5 hours of the day. One approach. The Ina.
Yeah. So therefore it should be.
Therefore, it should be 6 hours of the day. Correct. That's the point we want to get to. It should really be 6 hours of the day. Theoretically, you could bring the carbon tamid at 6 hours of the day. If you had a good watch and you had a luach, you could do 6 hours. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they can't tell you that it's 6 hours of the day. They know when it's 6.5. They're not sure when it's 6.
Is he telling you that the shear of Ki Meshachri Kotzle is in fact 6.5?
Except that would then change everything we understood in our initial question. In other words, our answer to Rabbi Yosef would have to be, right. Well, yeah, we misunderstood Abraham then.
Okay.
The Inami, second answer, yeah.
Maybe I'm saying, I think there must be a difference between learning Zerus Makim and Mitzvahs and learning Halacha and Maisa now.
Most reason is also Halacha and Maisa.
I know, but I'm saying as far as Zvanim.
Right. So you say just because the Tana felt comfortable learning his reason from Avram doesn't mean that we have to learn this man from Mincha from Avram.
Yeah, I think
so. It's an interesting thought. The Gemara doesn't entertain the possibility. But it's an interesting question because while we do consider his reason to be a mitzvah value, it's not as though it's a ma'akev. You know, that's a good point. I haven't seen anyone take that approach, but it's an interesting idea. Inami, alternatively, Sha'ani Avraham, Stagninus Gedola Haisa Belibo. You know what? Avraham was a really good astronomer. And therefore, Avraham knew when 6 hours of the day was. We don't know so well, not because our walls are off, but just in general. We have a hard time telling exactly what 6 hours is. Noteworthy side note, but the term we use for the astronomy is Stagninus, the same term that we use for astrology. Right, when we talk about Paros Itzdagninim and Re'u Kira Neged Pneichem and all that, because in the days of the Gemara, astronomy and astrology are the same thing. It's only a late phenomenon that those two get separated. That's our second answer. Inami, a third approach, Mishum Desakin V'Yoshev V'Yeshiva Hava. Because Avraham was an elder and he sat and he learned and sitting and learning, he knew exactly how to do it and when to do it. For us in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not so easy. We're not like Avraham. And the Gemara goes on at length then to talk about how Avraham fulfills all the mitzvos, even Erev Tchumen, Erev Tavshilin, depending on how you render the Ayin of Tav there in the Gemara. So, the upshot of this Gemara, and this is where the Minchas Chinuch comes into play, if you take a look in your Minchas Chinuch, if you look on page Lamed Dalet, okay, you want the left-hand column, and you want, after the lines get chopped out for the one line from the Sefer HaChinuch, will be Yuma Chav Chesamid Beis, the first of those lines that are restored to the normal length. Will be Yuma Chav Chesamid Beis Machsha Ashas, right? They ask the question, Ah, Nishka Talmud Chashavo, Mishani Shani Kosle Beis HaMikdash Shalom Achavni, Oshani Avram Avinu, Alev Hashalom, right? Mavur Dizmano Min HaTorah Mitchilas Sheva. So what's clear from here is that this man is really Tchilas Sheva. That's the right time for the Karban Tamid, and for Mincha. But what can you do? We can't be so precise. That's his argument. That's what he suggests. The chayner of the Mishnah, and so it appears in the Mishnah. The Mishnah he's talking about is what I brought in source number 3. Okay, it really should have been after the Gemara in Yuma, but I misplaced it. But that's what he is referring to, where it says shchato kodem chatzos. Puzzle, that if you shecht it before chatzos, it's no good. It's talking about the carbon pesach. But the point is, it says kodem chatzos, right? Not before 6.5, but before 6. So in other words, the real zman is chatzos. The fact that we start at 6.5 is to be careful to make sure that we have the right time. But b'di'evit, if you shechted it after chatzos, it's kosher. That's the, yes.
But nobody says 7.
Nobody says 7. Why shouldn't anybody say 7?
No, I'm just saying that we're trying to determine the earliest time.
Yeah.
So, ideally, it's Chatzais, from Chatzais on, which is 6.
Yes.
So, in order to be careful, we do it a little bit later to make sure that we not prior to 6.
Right.
But nowhere else did we mention 7. This is the only place that he picked up
7. Tchilas Sheva is...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I see what you're saying. Right, 6 is the beginning of the 7th.
So 6 is the beginning of the
7th. Yes, okay. I see. I didn't catch what you were picking up on. Yeah. So the language of the Mishnah sounds like that indeed it really should be Chatzos, and we have the delay.
And so Shmona Umechtza would be what?
Shmona Umechtza is then midway through the 9th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Shmona is already...
Shmona Umechtza means midday plus 2.5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yeah, I'm just trying to determine where...
If you remember that the end of the day, Shkia, is at 12, then you're okay. Yeah.
Then you
realize what we're doing. It's it means that the number is only achieved at the end of the hour. There's support for this. The Menachas Chinuch brings support for this from various sources, which I brought you on your sheet rather than have you dig through it in the Menachas Chinuch, just because that way you can see the whole text. If you take a look at source number 6, you find the Rambam's line: Hilchos Karban Pesach Shchitas HaPesach Achar Chatzos, right after midday. So he's also tying it to midday, not to 6.5. And in the and then in source number 7, we have a separate discussion in Shulchan Aruch, but you'll see why it's relevant. And the Shulchan Aruch talks about making matzah on Erev Pesach, and he says Noagim Shalo Lolush Matzah's Mitzvah Erev Pesach Ad Achar Sheishos Shuz Mana Krovas Korban Pesach. Our practice, we don't do this. We don't tend to bake matzah Erev Pesach in the afternoon. We tend to be a little worried about starting that at that point. But in the day when everybody made their own matzah, they made their matzah at the time you could bring the Korban Pesach, which is to say, he says, Erev Pesach after 6 hours. And the Magen Avraham writes in source number 8, Achar Vav Shos, Aval Gav, Shezman HaKrovat HaPesach Achar Vav Shos Umechza, granted you bring it after 6.5, that's really when the carbon is supposed to be brought. Mekomakom Iker Zman Umechatzos, that's not the real time. The real time was Chatzos. Okay, so the Magen Avraham is saying it explicitly. That it's 6.5, that it's 6 hours was really the accurate time. So
you reach such a number, 6.5.
Right, so it just seems to be the time after 6, essentially. The once we're not doing 6, we shove it over to 6.5. That's what we have. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, though, because it's not so clear. He's asking a really good question. I want to come back to it in a minute.
What about you're asking about why it starts in the
No, he's asking how we got to 6.5.
In
other words, once you say I'm not sure about 6, well, so maybe it should be
15, 1 at 6:25.
It's not going to wait for the hour. Whatever.
I heard an explanation that in those days there was a sundial, and it was there was no clock. You looked at the sky. And you approximated, how long? That's Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda
and Rabbi Meir.
And Rameir. Because you look at in fact, they mentioned the fact that it's hard to discern exactly what time it was, and that's why the discrepancy.
Right, you said about the Gemara and Makos regarding Eidos, right? So one says third hour, one says fifth hour. How far do we assume people are gonna vary? So yeah, that's a good source to bring in the discussion. But hang on, because I want to come back to it in a second. We're not going to see it in depth, but I have more to say on it.
Well, we do a half hour before because of the repercussions.
Not because of repercussions, but because we really could be wrong. The repercussion is that it'll be possible if we do it wrong.
Being cautious, why don't you go the other way before also?
In what sense?
Because let's say the person brings it before, it's also possible.
Yeah.
They want it before, so why don't you go the other way? If it's so hard to tell from the scent, would you go a half hour before the person?
In other words, and say don't bring a new carbon based out, because maybe actually you were all right. That's what you're suggesting. So I think when the Rambam gives this ruling, he's talking about Krishma, you don't lose anything by saying it again.
Oh, before I ask.
I think the way the Rambam is saying it is if you've checked it out now and you've determined that it was done before Chatzos. In other words, if you really suffik before Chatzos or not, then he'll say to you, Nechanami, don't bring a new carbon. The tour seems to be the only one with a different answer here. If you take a look at source number 9, I gave you a little chunk out of the tour. He says, "Uzmana mishayshos umechza ulamala ad halayla." Now he's talking about davening mincha. Okay, He says the time for mincha is 6.5 hours of the day. Is he now disagreeing? Is he saying 6.5 is actually a lechatchila time? So the truth is that the Ran in the Gemara in Shabbos, it's printed on Dalet Amud Aleph in the Ran, says the reason why you do 6.5 for mincha is because until then you can't tell that the sun is inclining, and that was the time of the Karban Tamid. So he could really be saying the same thing. The Torah could be echoing the Ran, first of all.
The
Ran is in Shabbos, Dalet Amud Aleph in the Da Be'arif. So it could be, it's Dibur Maschil Samuch. It could be that the tour is mirroring the Ran, and the Ran is simply saying the time is 6.5 hours because Misafek, they ended up doing the carbon at 6.5 hours. It doesn't have to be that this is actually a brand new shita. But to go back to the half hour question, it's funny because we do have a major machlokas as to what this half hour is, and that may shed some light on why we do, so to speak, on why we do half an hour. Right, there's a machlokas with most of the world, basically, if your name isn't the Gra, says that half an hour is half of
Shah's money.
Exactly. Half of these flexible hours. In other words, 1/24th of the period of time between sunrise and sunset. That's the way most of the world holds. The Gra says no, it's 30 minutes. Well, if you're going to tell me that the way we got to half an hour is this is the period of time it takes before you can tell for sure that it's past midday, then I understand the opinion of the rest of the world. I don't understand the Gra, right? Why should I say a flat 30 minutes? What kind of logic is there in flat 30 minutes? The flat 30 minutes, you know, depending on the time of year, you'll need more time or you'll need less time because the sun's arc is going to be traveled faster or slower. It makes a lot of sense for me to say that it's half of the Shahazmania. To suggest that it
should be the same question as in general. It always would make sense to say.
Unless the Gruz Shita is a different Shita. In other words, maybe the Gruz view is that it's actually 6.5 hours of the day based... Well, no, that won't
plus
work either.
Six and a half. It's six plus...
Right,
fixed amount.
No, what I was... Right, six plus, but I was going to suggest an idea that may not work. I was going to suggest that it had to do with the shape... Going back to the answer about the walls of the Beis HaMikdash being angled. But even still, it should vary. And the Gruz knows very well that that's going to vary based on the season.
Right,
so that won't work. All right, so I have to do more research into the Gra. All the same, going with everybody else's shita besides the Gra, the idea that it's a flexible period makes sense with the idea that this is simply the first point at which you can tell, you know, with a definite understanding that yes, it's moved past the midpoint.
The Gra has a general rule of flat 30 minutes
for mincha, yeah.
So that would not just Korban Pesach, because otherwise no. Just Korban Pesach, then the
right.
Sun will always be the same place.
Right, no, for Mincha as well. Okay, so all of this is necessary as background to the question of how the Korban Pesach works and what the earliest time is to bring the Korban Pesach. Take a look, please, at source number 10. Source number 10. Remember that we read source number 1, in which we said that you shech the Korban Tamid at 7.5 hours, I should say, right? Unless it's our Shabbos, and then the Korban Pesach you'll shecht after that, right? Ba'Pesach acharav. So we explain the reason why the Korban Pesach is after the Korban Tamid, despite the fact that the Korban Tamid is supposed to be the last Korban of the day, is because of Tadir, right? That was our first approach. Well, take a look at source number 10, where the Gemara does not quote Tadir. Tadir Rabbanan, it's a brisa. Tamid kodem lePesach, Pesach kodem lKtores, Ktores kodemes lNeros. Right, that's your order. The Tamid Shalbeinu Arbayim first, Korban Pesach second, Ktores third, and then you light the menorah. Why? Yeuchar davar shenamar bo boerev ubein harbayim, ledavar shlonamar bo boerev ela bein harbayim bilvad. The Torah says regarding the Korban Tamid, it should be brought bein harbayim, which we understood to mean after the sun is inclining towards evening. Korban Pesach, though, it doesn't only say that, it also says Ba'erev. You have two psukim. Extra use of Ba'erev is Xeras HaKasev, the pasuk is teaching me that the Korban Pesach will be brought after the Korban Tamid. Well, that angers Tosfos. Tosfos says, I don't understand. What, Tadir wasn't good enough for you? You needed to bring Ba'erev Bein Arbayim. Source number 11. Tosfos on that Gemara.
Yuchar davar. Af al gav de tamid tadir. Granted that the carbon tamid is the more frequent, nonetheless, itzrich lemichtav, you still had to write the gzeras hakasav. Why? Tahava amina shapesach yakti mishum alei hashleim. I would have said tadir might be canceled out by the rule of alei hashleim kol hakarbonos kulam, the rule that the tamid is supposed to be the last carbon of the day. So I have tadir on one side, I have alei hashleim on the other side. So I need the gzeras hakasav to trump the tadir to trump the alei hashleim side. Tadir plus karba, tadir plus gzeras hakasav versus alei hashleim. Yeah.
Wouldn't the tamid be brought every single day?
Yes.
So then, what's the?
What do you mean?
What's the halamida? If you have a concept of being the last korban and it's brought every single day, obviously the tadir would never apply. Otherwise, we would never have the rule.
You mean, in other words, alei hashleim defeats tadir on a daily basis?
Yeah, if there's no concept of tadir, if it happened every day. If you make the statement that it's going to last every day,
right?
Every
so, day so I think the answer is because it's the only karban, barring karban Pesach, which has to be an afternoon karban. In other words, you couldn't apply tadir for the tamid shabbein arbaim on a daily basis regarding other karbanos because it can't be brought until after midday. The other karbanos all have a zman that starts earlier. It's the only carbon I know of that's in the afternoon besides the carbon Tamashav Ben Arbaim is the carbon Pesach. All the other ones are their Zman starts with Amar Shahar, Nates, whatever you wanna right. How you wanna define that. So so that's Tosfos' answer. Tosfos says Alei HaHashleim would have trumped Tadir, so along comes the Gzeras HaKasuv. The Minchas Chinuch says that's a really nice answer, but I'm going to give you a different approach. He has a different approach to what happens with Tadir here. Very, very interesting read. This is in the paragraph that starts with Hatam. Okay? This is where he's going to develop the idea. He makes an assertion first. From the Psukim and from the Gemara, he says, I think you misunderstood what the Gemara was actually accomplishing here. I want to see if I can just excerpt the part where he does this without having to go through the entire section. Yeah. Okay, if you go in three lines in Vilich Ora, it's the fourth line in the paragraph Vatam. Okay, beginning of the line. Vilich Ora, apparently, Kevin de Dover ze eno mufurish betara da Pesach achar hatamid. Since it is not explicit in the Torah that the carbon Pesach follows the carbon tamid, right? There is no pasuk for it that says it clearly. Rak nilmud mehamashmos de betamid lo ksiv ala bein arbaim with Pesach ksiv b'arvu bein arbaim. We deduce it from the fact that what he said b'arvu bein arbaim on one of them, and only one of the other one, you only said bein arbaim. Im kain, if so. Nehi devadai memela nishma da Torah tzivsa lahakriv tamid ve'apesach meuchar lizman hatamid. The keyword is lizman. If I could have bolded it in your Menchas Chinuch, I would have. He says, granted that, from this we do deduce that the Torah is saying, bring the tamid and bring the Pesach after the time of the tamid. Im kainim osin kedin Torah makriven tamid bizmano, such that if you're doing it right, you do the tamid on time. Vadayin ozlo ikia zman haPesach, and the time for the Karban Pesach has not yet arrived. VaPesach makriven achar kach, and then after the Karban Pesach. Im kain nikrav haPesach achar haTamid. So fine, the Karban Pesach is after the tamid. Avol mehechon shaminan. But where did we learn? Im avar v'lo hikriv haTamid bizman lechatzchila. V'ikia zman haPesach gam kain. That if you didn't bring the Karban Tamid on time, right? And then the time came for the Karban Pesach, right? I'm jumping now three lines, his Derech Mashal, we don't need it for our purposes. Minolan, the end of the line, the last one of the line. Minolan did Tamid Kodem. How do you know that the Karban Tamid is going to be first? V'chimafurush batara da Pesach yeah achar Tamid. Is it clear anywhere in the Torah that the Pesach follows the Karban Tamid? No. The only thing we know is that it's later than Bein Harbayim. Avalom Mari Mitamid has nothing to do with the Karban Tamid at all. The Karban Tamid's time is Bein Harbayim. The Karban Pesach's time is Erev plus Bein Harbayim. That's all. It's about the Zman. It's not about the Karban at all. It's a brilliant read of the Gemara. When you go back and you look at the Gemara with an eye towards this, you're sort of left scratching your head, like, gee, is that really what it meant? It's certainly not what I come out with from a straight read, where we're giving the order this, then this, then this. But he says that's the idea. From the Psukim and from the Gemara, it only sounds like we push the Karban Pesach after the time of the Karban Tamid. Nafkamina, he says, is, right, practical application is, if you didn't bring the Karban Tamid on time, which one are we going to do first? Yes?
I have much more to do with them fitting it to Mishnah, Pesach Acharav.
Yeah, well, you could say the Mishnah is just prescribing this is what's supposed to happen. In the normal course of things, you bring your Karban Tamid at the earliest possible time, and therefore it'll be done before the Karban Pesach ever rolls around. So he asks, the Menachas Chinuch asks, he says, based on the Gemara in Pesachim that we moved up the Karban Tamid in order to put the Karban Pesach afterward, right? Effectively, that Mishnah that we saw that you're asking about, right? The fact that we moved it up, it seems the Karban Pesach is Dafke after the Tamid. Was that what you were asking, actually? Okay, good. He says, if you really believe that the rule is simply that on a 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock day, right, which doesn't happen Pesach time, but we're going to pretend. So 12:30 is Karban Tamid time, right, and 1:30 is Karban Pesach time. Okay, that's only if it's Erev Shabbos, right? Otherwise, it's 1:30 and 2:30. But the point is, you keep moving your Karban Tamid Shalbein Harbayim earlier to make sure the Karban Pesach will be after. But if there's no such requirement, so let the Karban Pesach go first. Finished. That's Menachas Chinuch's question. And he says, the answer is, that's where Tadir kicks in. The Psukim of Bein Harbayim and Bo'erev explain that the time for the Karban Pesach is after the time for the Karban Tamid. And Tadir is that the Karban Pesach is after the Tamid itself. That's the way that he reads it. So we have a use for Tadir, and we have a use for the Gzeres HaKasuv. We need both. Remarkable read. And he supports the idea in his paragraph that starts Vizeh Yamim Rabim, which is on the next page on Lamaches. He supports the idea. And he does it by quoting you source number 12. Okay? He says, V'ein l'cha davar, this is the Gemara in Pesachim, V'ein l'cha davar shemis'akev achar tamid shlabein ha'arbayim, ela ketores v'neros u'pesach, u'mechusar kipurim. Okay? He says, nothing else happens after the Karban Tamid shlabein ha'arbayim. The only things that do are the ketores, lighting the menorah, and Karban Pesach, and, ding, 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 Mechusar Kippurim, Be'erev HaPesach. Somebody who is Mechusar Kippurim, he needs to bring a Karban in order to be able to eat from Karbanos, right? Certain types of Tumah last for 7 days, and require at the end that you bring a Karban in order to be eligible to eat from Kachim. Not just 7 day ones, also by Yoledes, or other cases as well. Any time in which you have to bring a Karban in order to be able to eat from Karbanos. Okay? Got it? Are we clear on that? That's a Mechusar Kippurim. So the guy's a Mechusar Kippurim on Erev Pesach. He says, what am I going to do? I'm going to miss the Karban Pesach. No problem. You can bring your Karban even in the afternoon after the Karban Tamid. That's what he does as the Gemara continues. Shetov al Shenis, he goes to Mikvah a second time. The reason he has to go to Mikvah is if he's someone who has like a Zav, so he has to make sure that he didn't become Tamid from any discharge or something. But Ochalas Piskol la'Erev, and then he eats the Karban Pesach that night. The Rabbi Shmuel Ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka says this rule is not limited to Erev Pesach. It's true all year long that he can go to Mikvah and eat his Karbanos that night. That's not the point. The point for us is this Mechusar Kippurim is bringing his Karban after the Karban Tamid. Right? As a matter of fact, the Rambam says, I didn't bring it on the sheet, the Rambam says, Hilchos Tvidin U'Musaf and Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid. You can see it also if you look at the middle of Vizeh Yamim Rabim. He has it smack in the middle there. V'nei Mavur B'Shas Nintesamid Aleph Rambam Perek Aleph Nitzvidin U'Musaf and Halacha Dalid. Right? He doesn't give you the quote, but he gets the point, which we saw in the Gemara, and the Rambam says as well, Delav davka ha-pesach makriven achar ha-tamid. It's not only the Karban Pesach that goes after the Karban Tamid. Ela afilu mechusar kippurim makriv karbanosa v'erev pesach achar ha-tamid. The mechusar kippurim does too. Why? Da'asei sheyesh bo kareis docha asei da'ashlama. You're going to miss the Karban Pesach if you don't bring your Karban, Mr. Mechusar Kippurim. Right? That's a mitzvah that has kareis involved. There are only two. Right? There's this, and there is Mila. Other than that, you have to do a lot to get a kares. So it's the threshold is high. So this aseh is so important that it will override the mitzvah aseh of make the carbon tamid your last carbon of the day. So the Menachas Chinuch asks, but my pasuk of Barav and Beinu Arbayim doesn't work. So what's my basis for saying this? Granted the mitzvah aseh. So he says, you're right. The answer is, it's about tadir. It's all about tadir. Tadir says carbon tamid first in the afternoon, and then afterwards the Pesach and the Mechusa Kippurim. That's the that's his basis for this. So to summarize the difference,
and then the Mechusa Kippurim.
Pesach and then Mechusa Kippurim. That's correct. Because the
Mechusa Kippurim needs a Sephora to give us right.
Tamid, Mechusa Kippurim, and then Pesach. Well, it doesn't matter because you're not eating till that night anyway. The only question is, we do have a discussion about whether he's eligible. Can he be manui if he's still tamei? The Gemara in Pesachim discusses that question of whether he can be manui while he's still tamei. I don't remember the answer offhand. I believe the answer is yes.
He is eligible.
He is eligible. So as Tosfo sees it, Aleha Hashlem would have trumped Tadir, but the Pasuk trumps Aleha Hashlem. That's Tosfo's. However, the Menachas Chinuch says no. The Pasuk teaches me Karban Pesach's time is after the time of the Tamid. And Tadir is that the Karban Pesach, as well as Mechusa Kippur for that matter, is after the Tamid itself. The Tamid itself, not the time for it. Then what does he do with Aleha HaHashlem? Nothing, apparently. Apparently he ignores Aleha HaHashlem. It's irrelevant. That's the best I can tell you. Now, maybe because of it's an Asseh Bokares. Maybe that's why. But taking the Menachas Chinuch question and approach further, we can answer a question of the Shagas Aryeh, and this is what the Menachas Chinuch loves to do. He loves picking on the Shagas Aryeh. There's a Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Tzadi Aleph, which I brought you on the reverse side of the sheet. I brought you actually from Tzadi Yom and Beis. I didn't bring you the extension on Tzadi Aleph. It didn't matter for our purposes. The Iboyalu, the Gemara asks a question. Tadir umekudosh, eizem ayem kodem. Let's say I have two kabanos to bring. One is more frequent. The other, on the other end, is more kodesh. Okay? It's a karban musaf for Yom Tov, something along those lines, which we accept to that it has a greater kedusha. So which one goes first? Tadir kodem mishum de tadir. Odem umekudosh kodem de kodesh. Which one do I go with? And the Gemara, in the course of the discussion on Tzadi Aleph, mentions as a potential proof the karban Pesach, being after the karban Tamid. So asks the Menachas Chinuch, wait a minute, you're going to deduce the rule. Right, there's also a discussion there about Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvos in that Zvachim Tzadi Aleph. But you're going to deduce the rule based on the Karban Pesach, right? You're bringing Karban Pesach as a proof for what we do regarding Tadir Umekudosh, Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvos and all of that. Okay? You're going to draw it based on the Karban Pesach. Ask the Shagas Aryeh. I don't understand. The rule of when you bring the Karban Pesach is not a matter of Tadir. It's Gzeres HaKasuv. Right? It's the Pasuk. Barav Ben Arbayim. It's not about Tadir. Right? The Shagas Aryeh says, I'll even prove it to you. And he said, and here I told you we're going to have tefillin as part of our discussion. He says, look at what we do with tefillin. The rule is you put on which tefillin first? Shel Yad, right? Right, I'm skipping the question and answer session because we're getting late. You do the Shal Yad first, and then you do the Shal Rosh. Why? Why is it Shal Yad first? Sorry? Ukshadim Lo, so we do the question and answer session. Ukshadim Lo, Zayadecha, Vayutah, Nevoz, Beinecha. The Pasuk mentions the hand one first, and then it mentions the head one. What happens if you put your hand in your back, and you touch the Shal Rosh first? What do you do?
The Shal Rosh.
You hide the Shal Rosh and worship.
You do the Shal Rosh, you do the Shal Yad first anyway. That's correct. We, even though Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvos, nonetheless, Halacha Lamaisa, the Shagas Aryeh says, and it's not just him, it's the Mishnah Berurah as well, and pretty much everybody else, you still put on the Shal Yad. The Mishnah Berurah is in Chav Ches, Sivka and Ches, if you want to take a look. The rule is, even though we say Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvos, you don't miss a chance to do a mitzvah once it's already there. Nonetheless, if you have a pasuk, the pasuk trumps Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvos. Okay?
But then you should say, like, then I'll forgive you before I learn to be myself. Because it's easier to express it, or do you touch it?
So, that's his point. He says, I don't understand why you're bringing me a proof for Ein Mavir and Al Mitzvos discussions in Zvachim Tzadi Aleph. Tadir Mekudesh is as part of a discussion about Ein Mavir and Al Mitzvos as well. Why are you bringing me this business of Korban Pesach? Right? It's not Korban Pesach is a pasuk. Therefore, trumps Ein Mavir and Al Mitzvos. So he says, I don't understand. That's a Shaga Zariah's question. So Shaga Zariah's answer is in Source 14. Ela vaday shma mina dehay ben rabayim dekasa rachmana gabi pesach lokoy ashar kol avodos ela ashchita soluchut. Shaga Zariah says the whole thing about this pasuk ben rabayim is only about the shchita. It's not about anything else that you're going to do with it. So therefore, I would have thought the pasuk teaches me to do the shchita, but then in Mavir El Mitzvos means now do everything else for the other carbon first before you come back to your carbon Pesach. That's the Shaga Zariah's answer. The Menachas Chinuch thought that was funny. The Menachas Chinuch says, I already told you the answer. It's in Mizei Yamim Rabba. You can take a look at it and you get a chance. He says, I told you. It's because the pasuk doesn't tell me that it has to be after the carbon Pesach, right? The pasuk tells me that it has to be after the Zman. I mean, after the Karmat Tamid, it's a Zman of it. That's all it is. That's all it is. There's an interesting additional note here. Yeah, I'm sorry. All right. There's an interesting last point on this. Yeah, I davened already. Oh, but you know what? All right, so you know what we'll do? We'll just, between Minchamar, we'll catch it, because you don't want to miss this last point. All right, go. So it's a small item, but definitely worthwhile. It's the issue of a double effect. Medical people will be familiar with the idea of a double effect, right? In the end of life situations, double effect is a situation in general in which you engage in a specific activity, causing a second whatever. You want to cause X to take place, but it's also going to cause Y to take place. And halakhically, you're not supposed to cause Y. That's not supposed to happen. But nonetheless, it will, despite your intentions. And the question is, are you allowed to engage in the activity that's going to cause X, knowing that it will also lead to Y? Okay, let me give you the double effect medical case, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The classic case is, a patient is in great pain, patient is terminally ill, very, very weak. You want to give the patient morphine to take care of the pain. However, morphine has the side effect of depressing breathing. Depending on the dose, that's what will determine just how bad it'll be. You give a high enough dose, the patient stops breathing. Problem is that as the patient's pain builds and as the patient's tolerance for morphine builds, you need more morphine in order to take care of the pain. So you keep increasing the increments of morphine, you know, to take care of the pain, but the unintended result is you're effectively halting the patient's breathing. So the question is, are you allowed to increase the dose of morphine to take care of the pain, knowing that at some undefined point, it will make the patient stop breathing? That's the double effect. So this is relevant, believe it or not, regarding Karban Pesach, Karban Tamid, building from a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin talks about the case of bringing hot water for Bris Milah on Shabbos. They treated hot water as a requirement of the Bris Milah for Pikuach Nefesh purposes. If you didn't have hot water, the kid could get an infection, whatever it was. You needed hot water for treating the kid. So much so that if a bris was done on Shabbos and there was no hot water, they would go heat up water. It was considered pikuach nefesh. So the Gemara in Erevin, Samach Zayin Amud Beis, talks about what happens if the water spills. So are you allowed to bring water from some other chatzer through a yard, whatever it is, violating the Rabbanan, violating the Raisa, in order to bring water, or do we just say, don't do the bris? So as part of this, the Menachas Chinuch asks the question of, what do we do if water is unavailable? You can't get water from another yard. You would actually need to heat up the water. So, if I do the milah, then I'm going to force myself to violate Shabbos for the sake of pikuach nefesh, right? So do I do the milah knowing that I'm going to trigger that? That's my double effect, right? That's my secondary effect. I'm causing a pikuach nefesh situation. Or do I say, just don't do the milah, push off the milah to Sunday? In fact, it's a machlokas rishonim. Take a look on your sheet, source number 15, where I brought you the Ran. The Menachas Chinuch doesn't quote you the entire thing. That's why I just figured I would bring it to you from the Ran. The Ran brings you pretty much everything you need on this topic. He says, Hecha de'ika chamim ilirchas kodem mila, where there was water available. That's actually key, not for our purposes, but in the Ran. He distinguishes between where water was prepared and then it spilled out, and where water was never prepared at all. So where there was water, lirchas kodem mila. V'ishtapach, and then it spilled out. So hanoch de la achar mila, sorry, v'ishtapach hanoch de la achar mila, v'kia gavna hu de'ika lemedak i'amrinan tidcha mila. In that case, the case where you had water and it was spilled out, that's where we have to discuss whether you should push off the mila or not. Kevan she'im nimol. Right, so it's not that it got spilled out after the mila. It's the water that you were storing for after the mila. Yeah, it's a good question. So do we say the mila should be pushed off? Kevan she'im nimol, since if you were to give the bris, nitzdarech achakach l'chalas ha'shabas b'machshirin. We will then have to break Shabbos for what is really just a machshir. Right? It's really only a run-up step to the bris. Oh, Dilmar, perhaps, hashta miyas bedin mahalinan, or do I say no? You do the meal the way you're supposed to, basar hachi, and then after that, bikwach nefesh hu shedochas ha-shabas, bikwach nefesh after that. He's resting on the assumption, which we say, that you don't do machshirei milah on Shabbos. Right? That's the machlokas and rabbalaz of the milah, so whether you do the backup steps or not. We assume you don't do the backup steps. If you don't have a knife available, you're not allowed to make a fire in order to prepare the metal, such that you'll now have a knife. The Ramban Zal Kasa. So the Ramban wrote. Yeah.
All right. It's the premise that because the element of water is Darais, that it can be Darabana Mordi.
Right. So that's, yes, essentially. It would be Mordi. That's the analog to the case there about bringing water from through a Chatzer. From somebody else. The Ramban Zal Kasav, the Shari Lemimhale, the Ramban says that you are allowed to do the bris. She'ein Lemitzvah Ela Shaita, because that is the time for the mitzvah. You can't say to him, well, just do the mitzvah Saturday, well, Mila, whatever, don't do the Mila on Sunday. The mitzvah's time is Shabbos. Vein dochen es ha-mila, v'beishn tzitarech achar kach lidchos es ha-shabbos, dibasar hachit pikvach nefesh u'didachi level ha-machshirei mila. He says, once you've done the bris, it's not a machshir for bris mila, it's pikvach nefesh. So Ramban says, that's what you do. Zeu das Ramban zal. That's the view of Ramban. You do the bris and you don't care about what's going to happen later. The secondary effect is irrelevant. It wasn't your intent. And then once it happens, you're fine. They know Kain Das or Zrachi Alevi Zal. Zrachi Alevi, the Baal Hamor, disagrees. Shehu Zal Omar. I added in brackets, Mekame Mila. Or maybe if it's even in the run that way, I don't remember. That if the water that was meant for after the Mila spilled before the Mila, Tidache Mila, the bris gets pushed off. V'chein das ha-Rashba Zal, and so says the Rashba as well, and they bring you a proof. V'evi Raya, midisnan v'herkama de Beitza, they bring you a proof from the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, as a matter of fact, in Beitza. Beisel omrim lo yishchot, elem kein, haya lo deker no etz mi ba'odiyom. The problem they're dealing with there is kisui hadam. The question is, can you do a shechita of a bird on Yom Tov where you don't have dirt ready for Kisui Adam? So Beis Hillel says you can't shecht unless you had a spade stuck into the earth, and the idea there, as the Gemara fleshes out, is that the dirt was ready to use and you're not violating Yom Tov by getting the dirt. That's Beis Hillel. Ubeis Shammai Matirin, and Beis Shammai says no, you can shecht. V'shavin, and they agree, Shim Shachat Sheachbar B'dak of Yechase. Everybody agrees that once you do the Shechita, you do dig up and get the dirt, because the Asay of Kisei Hadam will override Los Asay of Yom Tov. The Gemara asks, well, actually, it's a Los Asay and an Asay for Yom Tov of creating Shabbaton. Tosus, there has a discussion that's not germane for us right now. The point is, he brings the Shechita on Yom Tov case, right, as a proof for our discussion. Vim Hisa Shemolin. If you're going to tell me you do a bris, because in doing the bris you're not yet pushing off Shabbos to heat up water, and afterwards it's pikuach nefesh, so achanami, the same rule should apply regarding shechita. Nishchot mipnei simchas yom tov, shecht because of simchas yom tov. Right?
Which is what, a chiyuv or a rishus?
Good, it's a mitzvah. We'll call it a mitzvah for a moment. And then after that, it's kisui adam. It's overriding Yom Tov. Now we see from here, that as long as you know that by doing this you are going to cause violation of an iser, Dochen es ha-mitzvah. We push the mitzvah off. Kedei sholei avo basof li-dekach. So that in the end, you don't come to a violation. That's the Baal HaMor's argument. The Ran himself doesn't buy it for the same reason that Ivan doesn't buy it. Or actually, slightly varied. He says, Elu divrei ha-rav zal. That's the view of the Rav, meaning the Baal HaMor. Ve'efshrein is possible. Aval zu, it's possible the Baal HaMor is right overall. Aval zu shel deker ein araya. But the case of the spade in the earth in Beitza is not a proof. Lefi dati, in my humble opinion, she'ein shchita b'yantov mitzvah kavua k'milah b'shabbos. You can't equate shchita b'yantov and milah on Shabbos. I'm not sure he's saying what you're saying about whether it's a mitzvah or a shus. He might be saying you could have done a shchita or b'yantov.
Right.
Yeah. Although you could then create an analog situation, you did shech, and then extra people showed up, okay. Or something happened. It turned out to be a treifa or whatever it was. That's a discussion about Muchan and Hachana. Later in Beis. Yeah. No, but in terms of his discussion here, in terms of the discussion of if his argument against the Baal HaMa'or is, well, Shechita could have been done before Yom Tov, I can invent a case in which it couldn't have been done before Yom Tov.
Yeah.
My point isn't the discussion right. Of what. Yeah. So
yeah,
so that would
be the same.
But if his argument is Ivan's argument. That you can't equate Shechita with Mila, then I think it's an ironclad argument. You know, I don't understand why we even think to bring proof. The only problem is that it's not his wording. He talks about being mitzvah kavua, you know, and I think that he means fixed for that day. I don't think he's saying what you're saying. Even though I should have argued Shechita v'yantov, Simchas Yantov is not a mitzvah seishesh bo kares. You know, Mila is not, even if Simchas Yom Tov is viewed as a chiyuv, it's not anywhere near on the totem pole where Bris Mila is. So, ostensibly, you could bring that proof also.
Where's the chiyuv karis for Mila?
If
not doing it on the eighth day.
That's correct. It can still be done the next day. However, if it doesn't happen, then the father's chayav karis. We had this discussion way back when, if you remember, we were doing Bris Mila. When is the father chayav karis? And our answer was every day. He is Chayav Kares. It's not that he's Chayav Kares if the kid dies without a bris. He's Chayav Kares until the kid gets a bris. So it is sitting on him even now.
But I'm saying 8, 9, 11.
No, but right now, on Shabbos, he didn't do the bris today.
Oh, okay.
So he's already Chayav Kares.
After day 8, he's Chayav Kares?
Yeah. Yeah.
It just occurred to me. The Anshe Midbar didn't have a meal because they didn't have the ruach. What was it? Mizrach is its fine.
Yeah, whichever ruach it is, it's supposed to be safer for them.
So, is that analog? Is that parallel to our situation over here that they should have done the milah first and worry about the pikuach and nafesh afterwards? That
because you don't have the ability to save the life.
Right. I think
you have
the answer
ability.
That over here. You do have the ability, except you'd be over.
Right, absolutely. So what does all this have to do with Karban Pesach? The Menachas Chinuch says, our practice regarding Karban Pesach supports the Ramban, that we don't worry about the double effect. Because what are we doing here? We're shechting the Karban, we're shechting the Karban Tamid, knowing that we're going to have to bring the Karban Pesach and override Aleha Hashlim. Right? We do the shechita of the Karban Tamid, knowing full well the Karban Pesach is coming next. So he says that's analogous to doing the Bris Milah, knowing that you're going to have to do the Pikuach Nefesh afterwards.
Not necessarily, because there has to be an order, and if this is the order, then that's the way it's prescribed. In other words, this is the prescription.
But we're prescribing an order which is going to violate the principle of Aleha Hashlem.
Which not
the other way would violate Tadir. Well, no, it definitely violates Tadir. But Aleha Hashlem is more significant than Tadir. Aleha Hashlem is considered to be from Pasuk. You know, Tadir is a good logical argument that we bring, but doesn't necessarily have the strength of Aleha Hashlem.
So the alternative would have been what?
The alternative would have been to say you can't shech the Karban Tamid now because you're going to cause the violation of Aleha Hashlem. You must do the Karban Pesach
first.
Yeah.
And you'd be violating what?
Nothing. Because remember that the Minchas Chinuch's view is that Bayar Ben Harbayim didn't require Pesach after Tamid.
It simply required
Karban Pesach time starts after the time of the Karban Tamid. That's all. So therefore, he would have said, wait with your Karban Tamid until later. Do your Karban Pesach once its time starts, then do your Karban Tamid. From the fact that I don't do that, that shows we're not concerned about the double effect. And this supports the view of the Ramban regarding the Bris Mila and the water. So I thought that was a very interesting approach from the Menchas Chinuch. All right, God willing, we'll continue next week. This, by the way, that we just did was the end of Vizei Yamim Rabin. If you want to see that inside. Okay.